Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to King of the Road, and also welcome to CFC Fan TV. This is a little bit of a weird introduction, but I am putting a little bit of this podcast on the YouTube channel. So not only are we recording with sound, we're also recording with video.
We've got everything, mate. We're like three-dimensional.
We certainly are. That was the voice of the one and only Mr. Charlie Skillen, who I am delighted has joined me for this podcast. We have an awful lot to get through. We are going to be talking about some of the biggest issues in life. But sadly, we're going to have to start with something that's really sad that has happened today, and that is the death of Ray Wilkins. Ray Wilkins is a Chelsea legend, but he's one of the few people who actually crosses club rivalry and is a legend pretty much at every club he's played. Glasgow Rangers fans are in mourning today. Paris Saint-Germain fans are in mourning. AC Milan fans, Queen's Park Rangers fans, Chelsea fans, obviously. He's a legend of the game, and he'll be sorely missed.
Yeah, I mean, you say the clubs he played for. One thing that completely struck me this afternoon was just outpouring from everyone. I mean, I know that will happen when such tragic news happens. But there was a real sense of the man off the pitch. I mean, literally everyone that came into contact with him, be that, you know, someone who played with him or someone that, you know, encountered him as a pundit on Sky Sports, just said what a genuinely lovely man he was. And that's everyone from, like, Michael Ballack and Frank Lampard saying that to Gazza, to people that work with him on ITV and Sky Sports.
Absolutely. Well, do you know what, though, Charlie? As much as you get those ringing endorsements from the likes of Jodie Morris, from the likes of Frank Lampard, from, you know, the greats of the game, what I also thought was really, really heartwarming and moving was some of the footage that I saw recently, actually, from a game at Crystal Palace away.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And we were at that game. Yeah. You know, it didn't go well for us. I think Bakayoko scored. We lost 2-1.
Yeah.
At that game, Ray Wilkins was in the away end and he was having loads of selfies with everybody. He was in really good spirits. He was joining in with some of the songs in one of the videos.
He was well known as someone who had time for everyone. And like you say, I mean, not even celebrities or football personalities on Twitter. It was, you know, the Chelsea fans that I follow, they were all posting their sort of personal selfies with him, and everyone didn't have a bad word to say. And it's a really sad day for football, and obviously bring it a bit closer to home, it's a really sad day for Chelsea Football Club.
Yeah.
I was gutted. I've been working at the Mail today, and I came back from lunch and it happened on my lunch break, and I was really crestfallen. I remember feeling the same when Peter Osgood died, and it's obviously I didn't see him play and you didn't see him play, but it's someone that's so central to the folklore of our club.
I can actually remember. I can remember Wilkins playing, though. Can you? I can remember him playing in that Queen's Park Rangers team.
Yeah.
I can not
just about.
I can remember it fairly well. I remember he was central midfield. I don't know how I can remember this, but he was central midfield with a bloke called Simon Barker, like a blonde guy, and Ian Holloway.
Yeah,
Queen's Park Rangers, QPR had a very good team that year, and they actually finished, I mean, not that this is a trophy, I just got too many QPR mates.
Yeah.
But they actually finished top London club that year. And Wilkins was coming to, you know, certainly in the autumn of his career.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But he was one of the main reasons why.
Yeah.
He just was such a good player. He looked after the ball so well, and he was sort of the original Pirlo.
Yeah, and he was player manager at QPR for a while
He was.
I mean, you say Pirlo, and that's interesting because the reputation he got when he played at Manchester United, he grew up at Chelsea and was our captain when he was 18, which is an incredible feat. It's our youngest ever captain, and you know, someone that dragged the club. I mean, he was the jewel in our crown when, you know, the early 70s of Osgood and Hudson and the FA Cup and the Cup Winners' Cup, that had completely died.
Yes.
And Chelsea had gone down, and he was the shining light of the club, and he was a homegrown boy. And people that remember him in his so-called middle stage of his career, which is Man United in England, his nickname was the Crab.
Yeah, just knocking it sideways.
Knocking it sideways, knocking it backwards. But I mean, that's because club and country, he played with Brian Robson, who was a very, very attacking player, and he kind of, Wilkins took up the sort of water carrier role. But those who remember him at Chelsea, and my dad, this is a hill on which my dad is willing to die, says he was a wonderful attacking player, frequently played in the hole behind the strikers,
but also,
and was a wonderfully attacking, exciting player. And I saw a stat that he scored like 22 goals for Chelsea, and then which was only 3 or 4 years, and then only scored that again for the remainder of his career.
Right, but it's not a negative. May well have been seen as a negative at one point, but it's certainly not a negative as a player to be very interested in ball retention.
No, of course.
He looked after the ball. He played an easy pass. Mm. He found a man in space. These aren't insulting qualities. These are really good qualities in a footballer.
No, clearly not. I mean, he's a sort of player's player, and he's the sort of player that you suspect. I mean, clearly, without seeing him in his prime, he's the sort of player you suspect would get on very, very well today.
Mate, have you seen the goal? I actually put it on Twitter. Have you seen the goal that he scored for England against Belgium?
I have actually, yes.
If anybody listening, or watching in fact, anybody listening to this, if you haven't seen this goal, please find it immediately. You'll actually find it on my Twitter account if you can't find it anywhere else, which is Chelsea Rory. But it is just a beautiful goal. It really is. Do you know, the only other player that I can kind of think of having the ability and the know-how and the nous to score this kind of goal, it reminded me of a Dennis Bergkamp goal.
Right, yeah.
The ball has come over to him, and on the half volley, he's done that rugby player move. You know, when a rugby player will kind of like chip the ball over
and then keep running, yeah, yeah.
He's done that. He's like played an assist through
to himself, yeah.
And then he's run through, as he's done it in the air, he's chipped it through. He's then had the know-how to let the ball bounce. Defenders are going crazy trying to close him down, the keeper's coming out, and then he just nonchalantly lifted it into the net.
Yeah.
It was a truly sublime goal, ahead of his time, and he will be sorely missed around the country.
We should say as well, obviously, for the younger listeners and viewers, that he'll be remembered as a coach at Chelsea.
Yes,
I mean, he was assistant manager under Ancelotti, under Hiddink.
And we won the double.
Yeah, exactly. There's great photos of him with the Premier League trophy, and he is, I mean, obviously, he played for a lot of clubs, but he's always had season tickets to Stamford Bridge, and he's a real kind of Chelsea man, and yeah.
His quote, it's
a big loss.
This quote will sum up Ray Wilkins to the vast majority of people listening to this. He was asked his favourite team, and he said he supported Chelsea.
Yeah.
And then he was asked who his second favourite team were, and his reply was Chelsea reserves.
Oh, I'll take that all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. Good that, and anybody listening who's London based, or at least based in England in the south, where are we? South East.
Yeah.
Just checking.
He's only lived there for 30 years.
But yeah, anybody who would like, there's a wall dedicated to Ray Wilkins at Stamford Bridge, and you can certainly go and like pay your respects.
Yeah, there's spoke to my mates earlier. There's already flowers and scarves.
Yeah,
being collected
was down
there. He was, yeah.
Some sad news that makes the news that actually pales into insignificance.
Yeah.
Compared to what we've just been discussing. Tottenham ended their hoodoo at Stamford Bridge.
Do we have to?
We can do it briefly if you want. I don't particularly want to do this.
Okay.
But yeah, I am crestfallen, to say the least.
Yeah, I actually think it's the most depressed I've been after a game, certainly since Moscow.
Yeah. I would say that season. There were two that season, weren't there? It was when we lost to Tottenham in the League Cup.
Avram Grant, mate. Cheers. I think it's an absolutely pathetic state of affairs, and I think the cause of it. There's so many causes of it. I don't think Conte should be manager today.
Mm.
I've backed Conte to the hilt. I think he has. It was ludicrous watching that game for 80 minutes and not having a Chelsea change.
Yeah.
I think he's made mistakes this season. He's fallen out with key individuals, and he's kind of this kind of petulant act where he's not getting what he wants. I agree with most of his points, but it's not You know, now you've lost to Tottenham at home, kind of. I think you lose. You've got a very poor deck of cards to be playing with.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what my biggest fear about all this is? Do you remember when Arsenal just had it over us? No matter what happened, Arsenal used to beat us.
Yeah.
And what happened was, we played them in the year that they were invincible.
So invincible.
And we beat them at the old Highbury. And we beat them there, and we never looked back.
Wayne Bridge.
Wayne Bridge completely changed the dynamic and the relationship between the two clubs.
Yeah.
I am terrified that what Dele Alli did at Stamford Bridge is going to be Tottenham's Wayne Bridge moment. It's going to suggest and signify a shift in the dynamic and the relationship.
I mean,
they're a club on the up, aren't they? They're a club moving in the right direction.
We're certainly in a club moving in the wrong direction.
But to counter that, they are a club moving in the
right direction. They are, certainly, and hopefully that reverses itself fairly soon. And look, I didn't want to sound like I think it was Conte's fault, this whole thing, because I think he's a small cog in a huge number of reasons to blame. I think that set of players, and I've said this before, are absolutely disgraceful.
Well, do you know Charlie? I think you could say 15. I think I could name 15 players who could leave the club and we wouldn't shed a tear for any of them. 15 out of the squad.
Yeah, which is like all of them.
Well, it's all of them, with the exception of Kante, with the exception of Aspilicueta. You know, there are the obvious exceptions, but generally speaking, if I never see Victor Moses playing for Chelsea again, that's fine. If I never see Gary Cahill playing for Chelsea again, that's fine. If I never see Thibaut Courtois playing for Chelsea again, I can live with it.
Yeah.
These are... And that list goes on.
Yeah, completely. I mean, look, it's a ridiculous parallel to draw, but, you know, this afternoon's been a kind of very emotional one, looking through all the tributes to a proper Chelsea man, someone that came to know what the club was about, and I don't feel that with this set of players, and I thought they were disgraceful. Individual mistakes, there's so many individual mistakes this season, and that is a symptom of a collective lack of responsibility and a collective lack of organisation and leadership. And as soon as Eriksen smacked that in from 30 yards, there was only one winner of that game.
Mm.
Chelsea's heads dropped. There was no one to rally them. There was no one to take the game by the scruff of the neck. There was no one to say, hang on, this is 28 years here. We can't lose this. And Tottenham just ran us ragged. And there's players that aren't technically good enough, and there's certainly players that aren't mentally good enough. And honestly, it's still driving me nuts. In case you couldn't tell.
Yeah, me too. It really is. It really has left me heartbroken. But something has to arrest this decline. We really do need to stop it. I'm not quite sure how. I'm not quite sure what the right answer is. I think Abramovich really does need to look at the situation and rectify it.
Certainly. Well, I mean, what there needs to be some consistency from a football standpoint at that club. There's nothing. They change manager every 18 months, and if you're going to do that, you have to have a structure in place where the culture of the club is maintained. You know, that whether that's a director of football or someone who's got their head screwed on when it comes to recruitment of players and all the rest of it. Because, I mean, as soon as Conte goes, I mean, he's got about 15 Italians in the backroom staff that are going to go the next day.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
We need a Chelsea man in amongst it, don't we? We need to get... You need Lampard in there, or you need Ashley Cole in there.
I'm never one that sort of agrees with these people who think, you know, we should get Dennis Wise in charge, or you know, just because they were great players for the club, or shouldn't Zola be in charge? But there's definitely that sense of something that's been lost, and I think that it needs to be rectified very, very soon.
Do you know what? I can't talk about
that anymore. Yeah,
I know. Do you know what I'm going to do quickly? I'm going to end this YouTube video. Guys, thank you so much for watching this video. If you would like to see more and hear more about what we're going to talk about, make sure that you click the link in the description to hear this podcast in full. But that is enough for the YouTube channel. I'm now going to really enjoy myself, and I'm going to talk about the brilliance of Cristiano Ronaldo. So, cheers for watching. Charlie, I'm going to talk to you now about something that was truly wonderful, and I'm just going to enjoy this moment.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cristiano Ronaldo is a player who I rate very highly, but he's not a man that I particularly like. When I watched his film, I was baffled at his weirdness. Yeah. And, I mean, without being weird and making it a contest, if somebody asked me Messi or Ronaldo, I would side with Messi. However, what Cristiano Ronaldo did the other night was absolutely outrageous. It was one of the best goals I've ever seen in one of the most high-pressured moments of the most high-pressured tournament, away from home, against the old lady. What he did was truly incredible. The execution, the skill, the athleticism, the sheer audacity to even try it blew my mind, and I have nothing but respect for what he did there.
I've always secretly really, really liked Ronaldo.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen his film?
I haven't. I mean, I can't get involved to that.
The film, I watched the film when it... Well, it was actually like the first thing I ever did on Netflix.
Okay. That's a very poor start to your Netflix career.
Yeah, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was a novice.
Right.
I'm a football fan.
Typed in football.
Football. I went on to Netflix. I was like, football.
Football.
And there it was. I was like, okay, I know.
Victoria's a lucky woman watching this for you.
So, I watched the film and it was weird, man. It was so weird. Oh,
no two ways. He's a strange bloke.
There was this scene, and this scene will always make me judge Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And he's with the agent and they're having dinner. And the agent's sitting alongside him, like we are now. The agent's... gives this little speech, and it was so self-deprecating, and he was lionizing Ronaldo to such a level that it was just odd. He was giving this speech, and it would be the equivalent of me going like this to you now. It was like, now Charlie, it is a privilege to be in this room with you. It's an honor to call you my friend. I just strive to try and be the agent that you deserve, but I know I can never do it because there isn't a man on this planet that could do it. And Ronaldo's just sitting
there. I quite like this podcast now.
But Ronaldo's just sitting there lapping it up.
Yeah.
And oh, he's that's weird. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. I mean, and the one thing that drives me nuts, like I can't stand the Ballon d'Or. I don't care who wins it, you know. And as soon in the lead up, the months, you get all this propaganda out of Real Madrid and Barcelona, in fairness, for Messi, about Ronaldo's the best. Ronaldo's the best, and it's this constant kind of.
We should just enjoy the two players, shouldn't we?
Oh yeah, of course. I've got no time for.
Do you know if you boil it down? Do you know why I'd go with Messi?
Go on.
Because I've never seen Messi's stomach. I think it's really weird when, like, you know Ronaldo doing that, like, weird six-pack thing all the time,
that's
getting
odd.
His tummy out all the time.
I'll tell you what's really weird. Have you seen his son do it?
No.
His son's, like, 8 or 9 or whatever, and he does it, and he's ripped. Like, his son could beat me up.
Really? Right, yeah. I just got... Nobody ever needs to... Like, you're clearly an athlete, you're a footballer. We've seen you, like, jump a mile in the sky last night. We know you can do it. Stop showing us your six pack. It's odd. I find it really odd. Like, anyone who's English listening to this will definitely get what I'm chatting about here. There's a very, very weird brand of Englishman that likes to go topless, like, in a nightclub.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
What are you doing?
I used to do that quite a lot.
Did you?
No, of course not.
Right, good.
Look at the state of
me. You know those weird muscle boys?
Yeah. Like, it's such... What clubs have you been going to, Rob?
Normal club, like go to a club in Ibiza. I remember I was in Space in Ibiza. Space in Ibiza was like good. Yeah. I was with my ex-girlfriend, it was good. I'm telling you, a third of the people in the club. But well, all on, like, yeah. They've all done like a billion sit-ups.
Yeah.
And they got their top off.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I always prefer anyone who keeps their top on and therefore Messi wins.
Yeah.
Odd. Agreed. But the goal was good. Yeah, going can back, you so, do a bicycle kick?
Of course, mate.
Mate, I don't know how people do it.
No, I've got obviously not. I don't think I could even do that with my body, let alone make contact with a ball.
It's mental. Hmm. How does anyone kick a ball whilst upside down? The thing is, as well, I'd be really like preoccupied by the fact that I know I'm gonna have to like land on my neck.
Yeah,
I mean, I just don't understand how you do it.
Yeah, sod the goal. It's 1-0 anyway.
Yeah.
It was definitely one of the best goals I've ever seen.
Best overhead kick you've ever seen.
Your collection of mates is gonna absolutely.
I know what
me.
You're gonna say here.
Trevor Sinclair for QPR.
Remember, I've got
genuinely fantastic.
I've got a counter to this, and do you know what? Those QPR lads, I'm sure, will be listening. I will. Do you know what? I won't even mention that we talk about this, and I'll send it to them.
Yeah.
And unless they flag it, then I know they're lying and not listening.
Yeah.
I would concede. I'm not conceding. I don't care. I would suggest that Trevor Sinclair's was a better strike. It was from outside the area. Yeah. It was a proper one leg going and the other leg following. It was it was all of those things. It was a better goal. But you need to take into account the whereabouts and the jeopardy and what's at stake. Doing it in the FA Cup at home to Barnsley is very, very different to doing it in a quarter final against the old lady away from home.
Champions League quarter final, Juventus. I mean,
Buffon. The list goes on,
doesn't it? Chiellini. I mean, QPR have never had a big game in their lives, so.
When Chelsea, they get sort of one big game every 5 years.
Is that
when
they all sing that? Kevin Gallen.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that whenever you talk about goals, brilliant goals, which is why, obviously, Trevor Sinclair's goal was far more perfectly executed than, say, Wayne Rooney's. But Wayne Rooney's was the winner in a
Manchester derby,
and therefore must count for. Simply trying that at Old Trafford in front of 70,000 people. Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah. I mean, how are you not just pulling that down and laying it off to the fullback?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ronaldo's was technically perfect. It was.
He was running the wrong way as well because he ran like backwards to ping it forwards.
Yeah, he's. And we actually did at work today. We did where it ranks in his best ever goals, and we
it's
put
got
it
to be number one.
We put it top. Yeah, we put it top.
What was second?
The one I wanted to be second, which I don't think was. Because it always just sticks in my mind because it sort of changed the way
I know what you're going to say. Oh, fine, not that. Oh, I know what you're going to say. Portsmouth.
Portsmouth goal.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's a league game against Portsmouth, so it's inherently not as special. But the way he hit that and the way it sort of changed in the air, it was, to me, the equal of Roberto Carlos's one.
Yeah. No, which
obviously
goal,
moved in a different
David
way.
James was just standing there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
Didn't have a clue. And a goal, I suppose, another Ronaldo goal that I really did think was, you know, blew my mind and upset me at the time is when we were chasing United for the title, and I think it's when they were going for 3 in a row and it was looking like we were going to close a gap. They were playing Fulham, they were struggling, and Ronaldo just picked the ball up at Craven Cottage in his own half and ran the length of the pitch and scored.
I mean, I think Ronaldo is the best player I've ever seen in the Premier League.
Ooh.
And I think purely because I've never seen someone completely dominate the league as much as he did in those 3 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, whether you can call him the greatest Premier League player of all time, I'm not sure because
he did it for such a
because
short
he did it for
time.
A relatively short period of time, exactly. And you know, I would argue that people like Lampard, Terry, you know, people like Ryan Giggs and Roy Keane, you know, their longevity and the amount that they won
sets them apart.
But in terms of purely dominating the league, obviously you've got to talk about the Arsenal players like Henry. I don't think I've ever seen anything like Ronaldo in about 2008.
And that wasn't even him in his pomp.
No. I mean, he still.
He went on to be a better player.
You
than
think
that.
Of everything he's done at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
That's all still in the future.
Yeah. Will he be? Will Real Madrid fans see him as their best player?
We've got a guy who covers Real Madrid and Barcelona for us, and we sort of ask him this quite a lot, and he's now sort of equal with Di Stefano. I mean, Di Stefano built.
So he's ahead of all of the other greats that they've had, though.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, now he is. He's their record scorer now, isn't he?
Yeah.
And, I mean, Di Stefano was so instrumental into what Real Madrid is as a club now.
Yeah.
Because they won the sort of six European Cups in a row. Mm. And then when the tournament first started, they established themselves as Europe's leading club. And Di Stefano was central to all of that. So he's kind of always untouchable.
But he's now moved ahead of the likes of, you know, Raul. Yeah.
Absolutely. Zidane, almost.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, Zidane's obviously his manager.
Do you think whose goal was better, Ronaldo's or Zidane's?
You know, Zidane was actually asked this after the game.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Did he say his own?
Yeah, he backed himself.
Which
I quite like. I mean,
if somebody asked you the greatest goal you've ever seen at Stamford Bridge, would it be the one that I put on Instagram of you scoring?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. And again,
you have to back yourself.
And again, I mean, I've been to Champions League semi-finals at Stamford Bridge, but
you see nothing like that goal.
No,
you
scored. Absolutely, absolutely. The keeper was a bit kind, I think, but I sent him the wrong way.
No, you gave him the eyes.
The best strikers do.
You give him the eyes.
My granddad always says Jimmy Greaves used to do that. So
just look one way. Well, Michael Owen would always do that as well. Just knock it the other side.
Tuck it in the other corner. Best strikers wear a football shirt three sizes too small for them as well.
I liked your quite a nonchalant, but equally, it was nonchalant and passionate celebration.
Yeah, yeah. I remember running over to you.
I've scored. And I'm really happy about it, but I don't want to show that I'm... No, I'm going to show. I don't care.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I think we were winning about 6-0 at the time. And I just wanted to score.
Mate, what are you doing? Talk yourself up. It was 1-1, and this was a semi-final. Yeah, I wouldn't remember. Nobody listening knows.
Exactly. Yeah, you weren't there. Cup final.
Yeah, we were against a team of, like...
Man United.
Ex-pros. Ex-pros, yeah.
No, we're against a bunch of divs from some other supporters group. And I think we were winning about 6-0. In the third place playoff or something. And this is why I've never been an elite team player. Well, athlete, if you like. But I think that's down to other reasons.
Go on.
Because I don't really care as long as I sort of score.
So if we'd lost that game 6-1, but you'd had that moment, that would have been fine.
Particularly because it was at Stamford Bridge and I just wanted to score.
In front of the shed.
It was a great moment. Yeah, I mean, you were exceptional that night.
Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It looked like playing, because we were playing under the floodlights at Stamford
Bridge.
It
was brilliant. It was brilliant. Thing is, I enjoyed the bits between matches when you could just sort of have a kickabout and look around and look up.
I know. Like doing a crossbar challenge at Stamford
Bridge.
Yeah, it was
brilliant.
Yeah, awesome. It's so good. And do you know what's quite incredible? Scoring a goal at Stamford Bridge. It was an empty Stamford Bridge. There were about 200 people in the entire building.
I think there were some very confused Japanese tourists, weren't there? Yeah. Sort of clapping at the shed end.
Right. Imagine what it must be like to score... Imagine what it must be like to score like just a normal goal, like against Cardiff in the FA Cup or something. Yeah. But imagine what it must be like for Ivanovic when he scored that winner against Napoli.
God,
can you imagine how like the noise and how he must have felt?
I know, it's incredible.
It must be the closest thing to for a human to feel not like a human. Like that would take me into. I think
I know.
You're suddenly Superman. You're suddenly an X-Man.
I mean, I felt like that in the stand.
Yeah, well, I felt like that. There was a goal
I think that's
that
my best ever moment at Stamford Bridge.
There was a goal that I scored that night, and it was like so normal, like not a good. I picked it up and I sprayed it, which in my head was quite far, but having seen the footage, it was like 15 yards.
Yeah,
but it was a looper, so it looked like a good ball. My cousin sort of took on his man, cut it back, and I hit it, and it's gone in. Mm. And at that moment, I actually celebrated. Like a proper celebration.
Yeah.
Like, I've kind of gone running over to my cousin. I've given him a hug. It's like, what are you doing? Rory. There's no one here.
Yeah, yeah,
there's no one here. And it's against a group of scaffolders. Like, don't worry about it.
Calm yourself. Yeah. that Ivanovic goal, I got a tiny little story about that. Probably my favourite ever moment at Stamford Bridge. And obviously, the game was massively tense. And it was Ivanovic's goal that put us through, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I sit in the West Stand where... If the West Stand is empty, it says the words Chelsea
right.
on the seats.
Right.
You know, so it's like white. And the white is sort of shaded with black. And I jumped on the seat in front of me, which is a white one.
Right.
And I snapped the back off it.
Great.
When the Ivanovic scored.
Yeah, yeah.
And the next season...
You're going to get a bill from the
I know. Oh, God, I've given them enough money over the years. And then the next season, or maybe 18 months later, I was watching a youth game the other side and the West Stand was empty. And the Chelsea was mucked up. Because they obviously didn't have a white seat. There was just like a little blue dot where I'd snap this seat. It was Ivanovic's
fault. That is a good story. You're going to definitely get billed.
Yeah, I know.
Where are you? Your West Stand, what?
West Lower... God, I have millions of people listening to this podcast. Come and find me now.
Millions, yes. There are millions of them.
West Lower Gate 4.
Where is that in relation to, say, the halfway line?
It's pretty much bang on the halfway line. Just the shed end side a tiny little bit.
Right, nice seats.
Great seats. I mean,
happy there?
We're very happy there. I mean, we talk about moving every single year because, I mean, I must say the atmosphere is pretty dreadful, which is kind of what you expect in the West End lower. But the view's so good that it's, you know, and frankly, you know, for the West Brom at home game, the atmosphere is not that special anywhere.
How dear is it? Is it a dear stand, West lower?
My season ticket, I think, is £880 or something like that.
880. And does that include cups?
No.
So you buy all the cups. So it's 19 home games?
Yeah.
Right. Interesting stuff. This isn't for anyone else's benefit. Anybody listening to this, I'm sorry about that. It was purely for my own. I'm just processing.
Yeah, the view is so good that we just never move.
And are you renewing?
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's illness.
So you'll be looking forward to the new season, Europa
League? Certainly more than I'm looking forward to the rest of this
season.
Someone
on Twitter had a real go at me, by the way.
Oh, who
was
it?
Oh, mate, it happens on pretty
Is it much that bloke who hates us? There's a bloke on Twitter who hates us.
Oh, mate.
He sent a tweet
He loves following us and loves interacting with us, but literally disagrees and hates everything I say.
Yeah.
I've sent him a few messages. I'm like, mate, why do you follow this account?
Yeah.
Like, what is
I initially followed him back because I thought it was quite good back and forth. And the geezer tweets every 15 seconds. So I had to get rid of him.
Oh, no, wait. I know who you mean. I know who you mean. No, that guy. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to give.
I'm not naming him either. I nearly named him there.
He's
my mate a bit.
Is he?
I don't know. Like, he obviously hates me because he did a thread where me and you were like the first two. Hated.
I was talking about
another fella. But no, this guy that you're talking about is far more interesting.
Yeah.
I don't always agree with him, but he does make quite valid points.
Yeah, he made some valid points about you.
he's funny. When he did, to anyone listening to this, by the way, sorry if you're not aware, there's this bloke on Twitter who has concocted this list of basically, he called it popular Chelsea accounts
who are idiots. Yeah.
And he's done a thread and it's quite funny and it got about 100 retweets. And at the time it came out, there was a lot of like people talking about it and whatever. And in his first tweet where he highlights this, I think it's me and you.
It is.
It's me and you.
Chelsea Roy.
Yeah, it's me and you. And he doesn't like me. I think I get quite badly. Mm. I get like most clueless bloke out there.
Yeah, I always get called like your dar. That's because I want the players to show a bit of fight and all
right. No, I get.
And I don't know who.
I don't know
who's playing left back for Borussia Dortmund reserves.
He gets a hump with me because I'm optimistic.
Yeah.
But why are we talking about Twitter? I don't even know what I was on about now. But this bloke's far. Whatever I was going to say, this bloke is far more interesting.
Yeah.
But no, a few people. So I had a bit of back and forth actually with him the other day via the channel Twitter.
Yeah.
And me and him follow football in a very different way. He's on it with the board and I like going and seeing my mates and getting behind the team in a different way. But basically, after the Tottenham game, I came out and went, I've had enough of this. Losing to Tottenham 28 years, it was a straw that broke the camel's back. I think we need a change.
Yeah.
Not him, but a few people were like, oh yeah, now you're saying that. It's like, well, yeah, everybody has a point. That's how football works. Everybody has a point where they get to that point.
Yeah, of course.
At some point, everybody gets there. Like, he wouldn't have been there when we won the league last year.
No.
At some point over this season, he got there before me.
Yeah.
But me getting there now, lots of people are like, you can't change your mind. It's like, what? Of course you can. Yeah. Like, this is what tipped me over the edge.
But also,
losing to Tottenham is enough for me to say that I think Conte now needs to leave. We're not going to win the FA Cup as things stand. We need a change. We need it now.
Absolutely.
I know what I was going to say. I was talking about some other fella on Twitter who's gone mad at me. Really mad. Like, I think I blocked him. I said that we're not going to make the Champions League.
Which we're not.
And he's gone something like, oh yeah, Mr. Know-it-all, you think we're not going to make it? I was like, we're not.
No.
We're not. And like, it really did make me laugh. But I'm confident in saying that we are in the Europa Cup.
Yeah.
Are you agreeing with me?
Yeah, we'll be in the Europa League.
So are you looking forward to next season in the Europa?
No, not really. Not really. I mean, you get a lot of people going, oh, the trips will be amazing.
The trips, that isn't strictly true. Because you could end up going somewhere, like, not rubbish, but somewhere that I've been and not had a good time, like Basel.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't want to go there, but I don't even know.
I shall do the aways, most of them anyway.
Do you know what I fancy? You could get somewhere really exciting, though. Like, I like the idea of Scandinavia.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of Scandinavia. I went to Norway, God, that's got to be about 10 years ago. We played Rosenborg. Yeah, I went to that. It's freezing and expensive, but that was good. If we end up going somewhere like that again, it'd be good. Do you know where else I fancy?
Where's that?
I fancy like Serbia. It'd be good. Oh. It'd be good. It'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
So there's obviously potential for those sorts of trips, but equally,
the football's rubbish. The games will be rubbish.
Yeah, the games. We'll be playing every Sunday. Although saying that, we play every Sunday anyway.
Yeah,
but like, we don't play on a Saturday anyway. No, so Sunday,
Thursday,
doesn't...
Sunday. That's hard work. Thursday, Sunday.
It's only the same as
you've got to play about 48 games before you win it.
Yes, that's...
And to be honest, last time we won it was great. I mean, I can't remember much about Amsterdam, to be honest, but. Yeah. But it was good fun. But to be honest, winning the Champions League the year before, I mean, we've just been waxing lyrical about the Napoli game. I'm sure we could devote a whole podcast to that campaign.
Yes.
I mean, I'd struggle to talk for 5 minutes about our Europa League campaign the following season.
Yeah, you're right, actually. The highlight... Well, it was Basel, weirdly.
It was Basel.
I remember I was there.
We played Sparta Prague.
Prague was on Valentine's Day. I had a real problem. Mad how you can remember things. Yeah. Right? I don't know what I had for lunch today, but... We played away in Prague on February the 14th. That is a fact. You can look it
really?
Up.
That's yeah, very that is fact.
A fact. Well, it's a fact because I lost a relationship.
Did you?
Off the back of that. Yeah, I then didn't go. It was like... What did it call that? Like, it's not like a double-edged sword, is it? It was basically... You know how you can have a win-win situation?
This was the opposite. This was a lose-lose.
Because I booked it and then my bird went, no, you can't go.
No, yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I've booked it now, so I'm going. Thought better of it, didn't go, went back to her, and she was like, no, too late.
The first...
I was like, oh, what?
For God's sake.
I missed the plane now.
Oh, well, it all worked out for the best, didn't it?
Oh, far, yeah, absolutely. My
first Valentine's Day with my girlfriend in 2010,
I think. Who is still current girlfriend.
The current girlfriend. We went to watch Chelsea against Fulham at Craven Cottage. It was 0-0. David Luiz made his debut.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, David Luiz. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible that she's
still... Hang on a minute. No, I don't. I'm making a mistake here. I can remember... When you said David Luiz at Craven Cottage, the game that I remembered was David Luiz scoring from about 50 yards at Craven Cottage. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
We won 4-0.
Yeah, this was 0-0.
It must have been the year before.
Which should have really...
Again, it's mad how you can remember
really,
things.
Really didn't float our boat too much.
Isn't it funny how you remember? What a lovely sort of trip down memory lane. Yeah. But as much as I would rather be in the Champions League, I hope that we take the Europa seriously.
We've got to. I mean, to be honest, it might even be our best chance of getting back in the Champions League because obviously the winners qualify for the
tournament.
Well,
that's what Arsenal are going to do this year, you know.
I hope not.
I mean, I'd love Moscow to knock them out.
Yeah.
In more the ways than one. But
shouldn't be too odd.
I have a feeling that Arsenal could win that, which will just typify this season. Tottenham end their run at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
Arsenal win a trophy on European soil, make the Champions League. We're in the Europa League.
I do not want to play Tottenham in the FA Cup final.
No, Manchester United must win that game.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's essential, actually. Right, I think that's pretty much all we have time for, because I can see that Charlie's had enough.
This Tottenham thing, man, it's depressing me.
No, it's completely fair enough. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of King of the Road, and I'm sorry that it's been so sporadic, but I guarantee you this, it will be weekly, every week, from now, for the rest of my life. So I will see you all next week. Cheers for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.